Starting on the book of Romans today will be Romans chapter 12. We've been learning about love based on our text 12, 13, 14. This is third time. One in Love, part 3 today will be. Our text is from Romans 12, but I'll be reading only 9 through 13. The rest of 14 through 21 will be our reference. You can read it later, but I'll be focusing on my sermon through 9 through 13 today. Before reading the scripture, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for bringing us here before your presence, before your holy word again. Would you please make our hearts humble before you? If something is in our hearts, Lord, with the power of your Holy Spirit, remove things that hinder our understanding of your scriptures. And pour your Holy Spirit to us so that we will be able to worship you. We will be able to enjoy your teaching from the Bible. Lord, bless us as I'm going to share and deliver the word of God to your people, even to me. And bless us so that nothing else but we all focus on Jesus Christ, nothing else. So we will glorify you. Lord, be with us, and we pray your Son in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is from Romans chapter 12, from the Bible. Page number is 1205 from the Pew Bibles. You will see our Pew Bibles. We are using ESV. I'll be reading from the ESV Bible. In my sermon, I'll be using some verses. I'll be using the NIV, and I'll tell you why later. But I'll be reading from the ESV, 1205, Romans 12, verse 9 to 13. Our text is 21, until 21, but I will not read it. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal, but fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. This is the word of God. When we hear people saying to us, I love you, we feel so good. Especially someone that we love, someone we like, our family members, even our teachers and from church members, we feel so good. Today, as I mentioned, that today is about love. This is part three based on, we've been talking about love based on Romans 12 and 13 and 14. And now, we see that Paul urges the Roman Christians teaching about love. Why? Just one reason, to be united in Christ. So one church, one mind, and one spirit in Christ, that will happen if they understand about the meaning of the love. So Paul explains that there was, you know, many divisions and things happening in Roman churches because of lack of love. For example, we already looked at Romans 14. Paul said that stop despising and criticizing each other, but love one another. And in Romans 13, owe no one anything except to love each other. So he is trying to get rid of things that making church many divisions and sectors, and he's putting God's love in the middle of their faith. So the church will be united in Christ. Today we'll be looking, as I mentioned, we'll be looking at only verse 9 through 13. And 14 and 21 will be in our reference. Maybe you can read it at home. Now let's talk about Christians' love lesson and how Paul understood one more time. Paul's understanding of love comes from not his idea, but comes from Jesus Christ. Simply, love is the new demand for all Christians. Love God Jesus Christ summarized, love God first, and the second thing is, love your neighbors. That's Matthew 22. Very simple. It means that love without any condition. Love means, we look at that, love means, last week, love means total commitment. Jesus teaches that with all your heart, soul, and mind, and everything of you, not part of you. Same thing is true. This part is a little bit tricky when we love our neighbors and enemies. Love your neighbors and enemies. That's kind of tricky, but Jesus says, love your neighbors, even your enemies. And Jesus said that is why? Because God shows His love as an example to us, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave everything, He only His Son, and then we have eternal life. That's John 3:16. So in the Bible, love is not an idea or someone is talking about concept or theory. It's an action. If Christians, we understood the meaning of love, we have to act on it. That's what Paul is saying to the Roman Christians. So love sits in the middle of our relationship among us, even to our neighbors. And love shapes our church. Love shapes all faith community and outside, even other churches. And in our relationship with brothers and sisters here in the church, in the Lord, should be based on God's love. And in our relationship even with our enemies, that makes me really uncomfortable when I read this part. But that is true, what Jesus says. Our relationship with our enemies should be based on God's love, including non-Christians. That is the most difficult part for us to do. So let's talk about this issue, loving enemies. What does it mean, love your enemies? It means that simply extending God's love to the world. Not just have your love inside, not that way, but God's love is unlimited. So bring God's love to other people. And then we should not limit God's love. We know that that's a hard thing to do. But the Bible teaches that, you know, not to repay evil for evil. That is a mark of early Christian virtue and tradition. If you look at, carefully read the Old Testament, you can see some fine references, good references, such as Exodus 23 and in Proverbs chapter 17 and 20. In 20:22 said, do not say, I will pay you back for this wrong. And later said, wait for the Lord and He will deliver you. So now here, Paul is talking about the love. Love does not make us stop loving others or even enemies. Love requires us to extend and to go forward and to do more from our hearts, even to love our enemies. We talked about that last week, why. That's actually impossible. Now, impossible, why? Because how can we love a person, let's say, who does not deserve our love? Now, how can we forgive and love our enemies while our lives are literally devastated and destroyed by somebody else? Conclusion is that, it seems to me it is impossible to love them. My enemies and my neighbors with our own power and strength and wisdom. That's what the Bible says. But possible option is Matthew 19:26, with God everything is possible. Now Paul is bringing in a concept of, we are not able to love somebody, but we already experienced God's love. Based on God's love, we can love our enemies. That's what Paul is teaching here. The Bible does not teach us to forget what our enemies did to us. But Bible clearly teaches us that we must forgive them and we should love our enemies. That is God's love. I was looking for some references. John Calvin says, this is interesting, but God by His word not only retains our hands from doing evil. So if we know the power of God, we know the scripture, it retains the hands of our hands from doing evil. But God wants us to concern for the well-being of those who unjustly trouble us and seek our destruction. This is what John Calvin says. One of commentators says, his name is Thomas Schreiner. I like his commentary. He said, even though believers are severely mistreated by others, they should never forget that they are dearly loved by God and chosen to be His own. So rejection by others is a deep wound, but God's love for us is the best healing for it. I agree with him. And Paul is talking about the power of love that we already have. In our text, verse 9 to 13, Paul says, love must be genuine. And the NIV says, love must be sincere. The reason that I picked NIV this time is that in this particular text, in Greek text, lots of participles and imperatives happening. The NIV translates mostly imperative, so more like practical to the contemporary Christians. So I think NIV is a little bit better to apply to our Christian life. That's why I picked the NIV text here. From the NIV text, love must be sincere. The ESV is genuine. Verse 9. This is the most important ingredient of love. Love must be sincere. Now, Paul's love here is more than just brotherly love. And that he talks about in verse 10. Sincere love means there's no pretending. Sincere love means there must be sacrifice. Not demanding something from others, but giving and sacrificing. And that means it's not fake. That means it's not consist of empty words and pretending something. But it must be always the same, but not changing. As God showed us His love based on John 3:16. That is a sincere love. So the other way we can understand is, when we say we love you, we have to understand that God is looking at our hearts. Is that true before God? Is that sincere? Once we received God's love, that is a sincere love, we are the one who should share the same love, the sincere love. Now here Paul gave some practical teachings from verse 9. And he says, same thing, the NIV, hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Pretty much the same with the ESV. Abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. So sincere love cannot be practiced with evil mind and evil intention. Now, evil means something is against God. Now, breaking God's law, such as the Ten Commandments. So here Paul is saying that love should be true to God and to others. No evil mind, no evil purpose. Another meaning is no selfish intention when we practice God's love to our brothers and sisters, even to our neighbors. Now here, the true love is all about the goodness of our neighbors. It's not about me. As we talked about last week, sometimes love can be very selfish. It happens to me when we take off sacrifice portion, when there is no sacrifice. For example, our relationship with one another here in the church, even brothers and sisters, even our marriage, if we take off our sacrifice portion and then putting myself, I in the middle, and saying that you better understand me. This is what I'm trying to say. And I'm doing all right, but you are doing wrong. Please listen to me. And do something for me because I did something for you. Then I will do something more for you. In our world, in our modern society, something is like that. Love is more self-centered toward me. This is my understanding. Because we all take off the portion of sacrifice that God showed to us. Love is giving. As we look at last week, Romans 13:8, owe no one anything except to love one another, each other, continually giving, continually loving. That is the meaning of genuine and sincere love. That is the meaning of hate what is evil and cling to what is good. Paul also talks about here, love must be devoted. In verse 10, from the NIV, devoted to one another in brotherly love. A little bit different than verse 9, but ESV translates love one another with brotherly affection. Now here in verse 10, Paul talks about it specifically love for Christians in verse 10. That means Christian means family. Based on Ephesians 3:15, we are God's family, brothers, sisters in the Lord. Because we have the same Father, God. God is our Father, our God, our Father in heaven. We are spiritually brothers and sisters, although I'm Korean, you're not. Although I love kimchi, you're not. We are brothers and sisters. Therefore, as family, we must do everything to love and express our love to our brothers and sisters, devote ourselves to somebody. That's verse 10. That's brotherly love. Brotherly love means it applies to our own spiritual families. Believers have the right and the duty to discriminate between those who hate God and those who love Him, as the apostle says elsewhere. This is what the William Hendrickson says in his commentary. And Paul also gives us how to love our brothers and sisters. In verse 10, he says, honor one another above yourselves. Very practical and powerful. The word honor plays an important role here and in the Bible. It means, theologian says, only in the Bible we gain a true perspective of honor. For example, the Old Testament and New Testament required all the children to honor their parents, Exodus 20 and Ephesians 6. We should honor God, our God, Proverbs 3 and 9, and other portion of the Bible. So from our text, meaning is, practice this love, the love of Jesus Christ. The practice love of Jesus Christ as He honored. Based on Philippians 2 and verse 3 and 4, He says, Do not out of selfish ambition and ambition of vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. This is what Jesus Christ loved us. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. And your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature of God did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. So it is right to say that honor one another above yourself means practice what Jesus Christ showed us. Empty ourselves. Be humble like Jesus Christ when we have relationship with our brothers and sisters. We cannot say, I love you. We cannot love our brothers and sisters if something is in our heart. Our mind is saying, I don't like you. I don't like her. I don't like him. I don't understand them. Maybe you can say, why did you do that, James? As Christ emptied himself, we have to empty ourselves and we can truly honor our neighbors. And that is a part of the real thing that we can practice the genuine love that Paul is talking about. We love our neighbors and sisters not because of we truly think that we are able to do that. No. We love our brothers and sisters because of Jesus Christ. Because of His incredible love for us. His example to us. Jesus is the one who makes you and me humble. Jesus is the one who makes you and me to love our brothers and sisters. Verse 11 is more practical. Paul says, love must be never be lacking in zeal. Verse 11, I'm reading the NIV. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Love can be sincere and devoted, but it needs one more ingredient here. Never be lacking in zeal, passion, burning desire, desire to love our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Now, Paul speaks to the contemporary Christians and the 21st century Christians. It seems that there is no zeal and passion in our relationship, in our love. Why? Love is temporal. Love is physical. Love is self-centered. Easy to fall in love and hard to stay in love. In our love, we must remember that the Holy Spirit should be with us, continue to fill our hearts to give us passion and zeal. Some theological translation and the word of zeal meaning is enthusiasm. That means Christian love is not passive. As we serve the Lord with our hearts, we should love our brothers and sisters with our heart and passion. We should enthusiastically and wholeheartedly love our brothers and sisters. That is really hard. I know. And then Paul says here, keep your spiritual fervor. Be fervent in spirit. That simply means let the Holy Spirit help you. Then lastly, Paul says, love must be joyful, patient, and faithful. In verse 12. We know that love is the source of our joy. Psalm 31 and 7. I will be glad and rejoice in your love. So when we feel that we are in God's love, we will be happy and rejoicing. Psalm 59. But I will sing of your strength in the morning. I will sing of your love. Psalm 63. Because your love is better than life. My lips will glorify you. Because of God's love, we are here today. Because of His love that we have experienced, we are able to love one another. But the true thing is, sometimes love can be tough and very difficult to practice when we face some situation that we cannot love our brothers and sisters anymore. Now, Paul knows that. That's why he says in our text, joyful in hope, and patient in affliction. To love somebody is not easy. Sometimes we see hurdles and obstacles in our relationship with one another. The problem is, the real problem is that we have is not we don't know how to love. We know everything about what the Bible says. The real problem is, we quit easily. We just easily quit to love one another. When we face troubles and difficulties and obstacles and we disagree, we just give up. Now here Paul says, love requires us of patience. We love many troubled young people or children. Why? Because We believe that their future will be different than that of right now, today. Because we have hope in our faith in God, in their future. It is not you and me to see somebody else's future in our relationship, but because God is holding their lives, God will not give them up. So we should not give up to love our brothers and sisters. Therefore, we have to wait. Love is all about waiting and waiting and waiting as God waits for us. Love is not judging or arguing or hurting somebody, but it's waiting. And finally, Paul says, love requires our prayers. William Hendrickson says, love is not the product of human wisdom or skill, but God's grace. Therefore, it needs prayer. Do you hate somebody? You cannot love them? This is time to pray. We can't do that. But God can do it. Asking for His help and His mercy. We just finished our Vacation Bible School this week. And one of the themes from our Vacation Bible School is God's plan for you to love us forever. Now, Psalm 136, it's a long psalm. It's about His steadfast love endures forever. It repeats every verse. But it says, to Him who alone does great wonders. So, for His steadfast love endures forever. To Him who by understanding made the heavens, for His steadfast love endures forever. To Him who spread out the earth above the waters, for His steadfast love endures forever. Even more in verse 23, it is He, God, who remembered you and me, us, in our low estate. He will remember. So that's why Psalmist said, for His steadfast love endures forever. And rescued us from our foes, which means enemies. That's why we say, for His steadfast love endures forever. We got all His love. He who gives food to all flesh. That's why His steadfast love endures forever. Once we realize that we got all from our God. Psalmist said, give thanks to the Lord God of heaven, because His steadfast love endures forever. Brothers and sisters, I know that it's hard to understand about love. Even I cannot fully understand about love. I'm still figuring things out. But based on Paul's teaching from chapter 12, 13, and 14, let's love God more than anything else. Let's love our Lord Jesus Christ more than anything else. Let's love God with everything of ourselves, not part of it. And let's love your brothers and sisters. And let's love even our enemies. And let's practice to say, I love you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for Paul's teaching from the Bible. Maybe 20 and 25 minutes are not enough to understand your teaching, but Lord, would you please help us to understand? Would you please send your Holy Spirit so that we'll fully understand the meaning of love that we have received from you? Then we have to share the same love with our brothers, sisters, even to our neighbors, and even with our enemies. Lord, help us to practice this. We pray your Son in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.